resolutions. And I decided many years ago that New Year's resolutions only work for about an hour. And so I decided that there's not going to be any New Year's resolutions. As I was driving over here this morning, I was listening to the, that radio station 90.3. Is that K-Love? Okay, well, anyhow, they said in order for a new habit to take root in your life, it has to happen 21 days in a row. And as I was thinking, man, I wonder what I could do for 21 days that would be different. And I can't think of any. Well, I went to put on a pair of pants this morning, and I realized that maybe I've had 21 plus days of eating that has not been necessarily healthy. But anyhow, I resolved that this year I'm not going to make any resolutions. But I do resolve that there are 365 days in a year. And there are 365 opportunities that God will give me in this new year to make a difference in the life of somebody else. Isn't that great? Every morning, God's mercies are new. Yesterday, did you have an opportunity to go outside at all yesterday and see the beauty of God's creation? The trees were just ablaze. You know, if we don't give God praise, at least the creation was going to do that yesterday. So, one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament. Why does this podium seem like it's 3 inches taller? Is it adjustable? Or is there a box I can stand on? Anyhow, one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament is the journey of the Israelites in the wilderness. Now, they had their issues, but the one story that I find fascinating is the story of Joshua preparing the people of God to enter into the promised land. I want to read a little bit. Maybe I might read all of chapter 1 of Joshua. I'm not going to read chapter 2, but I am going to jump into chapter 3 a little bit. So follow along if you would. After the death of Moses, this is Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. I love that those two words. Get ready, because God's about to do something. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you step your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law... Whoops, come on. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. So Joshua, verse 10, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. Get ready. Get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Now, jump over to chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After three days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards or 2,000 cubits or 2,684 feet or between there and 3,000 feet. Between you and the ark, do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the covenant, or take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and they went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set a foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the edge of the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until all the people had passed. Amazing story. There's a ton of things to unpack in there, and I don't believe that we have enough time to unpack all of them. But I just want to point out a couple things. There are some interesting tidbits of what I see God doing. And I see these things true of Joshua, and I see these things true of us in 2021. The very first thing that jumps out of the pages of Scripture in chapter 1 in verse 2 is this. God is telling Joshua, Moses has passed. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan. God is telling Joshua, prepare yourself for what I'm about to do. And I can't help but think that there's a message in there for you and I today that we need to get ready to see what God is going to do in 2021. We have come through 2020, and a lot of people will say, well, it was a horrible, no good, very bad year. Well, yeah, it was in many ways. But in many ways, it was a good thing. I don't know how many of you are friends with me on Facebook, but I was so discouraged and so distracted by all the negativity of 2020 that I wrote a post. I remember when my kids were young, we used to sing the song. Maybe you know this. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know that song? We take our eyes off of the Creator and we put them on us, and it makes 2020 look bad. But when we stop and look at it from the perspective of, hey, what has God done in 2020? I'll tell you what, there were a lot of things that were challenging in 2020. For us as a family, in February, we nearly lost our daughter by a half an inch. She was skiing at that hill up in Duluth. What's it called? It's not Gander Mountain, that's the store. What is it? Spirit Mountain. And she's going down a hill, and out of nowhere, this guy comes across and cuts her off and takes her off onto a path, and she hit a pole. She broke 10 ribs, deflated her lung on that side. The doctor said, If she was one half of an inch over, our circumstances would be planning a funeral. But I praise God for the half inch. And I praise God that He is still giving us our daughter. I praise the Lord for that, counting that blessing. I also think of February 29th. It was a leap year. And our daughter said, I want to get married on leap year. So we praise the Lord that we were able to be with our daughter and our son-in-law for their wedding, February 29th. Because the big celebration that they had planned for April was not going to happen because of COVID. So we praise the Lord for those small opportunities. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on of the ways in which the Lord showed us time and time again that He was faithful. Get ready, God is telling Joshua, because I am about to do something in about 3 days. And now, I was thinking about this morning as I was going over my notes again. Get ready, because God is going to do something great in 3 days. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they go, you know what? We don't talk about reality from the pulpit. Right, Jane? Sometimes we just gloss over things. And I can't help but to think. And so we're going to talk about this, what we need to be doing or where we need to be focused in 2021. But I can't help but to think that as I was studying the scriptures this morning, this message, get ready to see what I am about to do, has so much significance for getting ready, because we're going to see what God, the creator of the universe, is going to do in our world. In 3 days, there is the potential of all hell breaking loose in our country. Are we ready? Believers, COVID-19 was a good training ground for us to prepare for what God is going to do in the church in America. He stirred the pot a little bit for us to get us to realize that our focus is not on us, but our focus is on what He is doing. Get ready, God tells Joshua. Get ready for what I'm about to do. And so then there's a couple things, and that was kind of a rabbit trail, but but there's a couple things that God is reminding Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 3, I will give you this land. Verse 5, no one will stand against you. Verse 5 is a promise that we hold on to today. Excuse me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do you know how many times God says that in the scriptures? 25 times. Do you know how many times God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, or be strong and very courageous? 4 times. And I can't help but think that there's a reason that God is telling Joshua to be strong and courageous, because the opposite of strong and courageous is fear and discouragement. And so very often we live in that fear. And so very often we live in discouragement because we are not reminded often enough to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not turn away to the right or to the left. Verse 7, be careful to do all that is written in the law. Do not turn away from it wherever you go. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. I'm reminded of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does... Well, we're going to have to go there. I always hate when I screw it up. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates whenever it feels right. No, it doesn't say that at all. How often should we meditate on the word of the Lord? Let me hear you. Day and night. Amen. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. That's where our source of strength and courage comes from, is that relationship that we have with Jesus, not a relationship that we have with the world. But, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He then, this man, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Get ready, church, because God is on the move and God is about ready to do something. Be strong and courageous. Meditate on the word of God, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way, he will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Now, I am not in any way, stretch, or form saying that I'm not giving you the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it gospel. I am not saying that if you do A, God will do B, and if since God has done B, then I will do C. I am not giving you a formula. I will never give you a formula. I will never write a book on the five ways to be a better Christian. There's one way to be a better Christian. You want it?
Yes.
Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow after him. That's where it's at. Daily. It's a daily thing. It's not a, gee, I'll do that when I have enough money in my bank account. Well, I'll do that when God gives me the desire of my heart. Or I'll do that when I'm driving a 2000 BMW 528i, which I drove today. I stopped at the shop and washed it. It's in the parking lot. It looks great. But I don't follow God because of that car. Scripture says that we are to deny ourselves. Take up our cross daily and follow after him. Scripture says that we are to meditate on the word of God day in and day out. I love you, Andrew. And I think that reading the scriptures on a daily basis is an awesome plan. And for people who are struggling, that's a perfect thing for somebody to do. Because it takes 21 days to get in a habit. So if you don't have that habit, and you have a habit of doing something else, go see Andrew. All right. Oh.
Stick with it for at least a month.
Oh, okay. Well, the truth finally comes out. The whole idea is, and we'll get to that later, but prepare yourselves. And I love what God says in his word here. And, you know, many people have Joshua 1:9 memorized. Many people have it on plaques hanging on the wall of their house, and they look at it, they quote it, they read it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. As I was going over that this week, one of the commentators said, you know, that's kind of a rhetorical question. Have I not commanded you? Okay. A better way of saying that is, because I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. And I alluded to this and I even said it out loud. The opposite of strong and courageous is fear and discouragement. And I am sorry to say, but there are a lot of people in our world today who are living in fear. And they are living a discouraged life. And we, right, my brother, have the opportunity to share the good news of salvation with them. We have this... this great news that we're going to celebrate together, this communion table, when we look forward to seating in glory around the Lord's table, having this great, awesome meal with him in glory. I mean, this is a foreshadow of what's to come. And, okay, we're not going there, but it's true that we come to 2021 and we have 365 opportunities to make a difference in the life of people. Get ready. Prepare yourself for what God is about to do. And for Joshua, it's interesting to note, that God had been preparing. That Joshua's leadership was a continuation of what God had done through Moses. It was not something where, hey, Joshua, you know, why don't you just come and we're going to go and we're going to do this. But God's promise was that these Israelites would be in the promised land. And God had been preparing that for a very long time. So Joshua, verse 10, ordered the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. I cannot stress that enough. Get ready for what God is going to do. We need to trust God. So here's the first point if you're taking notes. It wasn't get ready, even though that's a good point. The point is this. We need to trust God to go before us in 2021. We need to trust God to go before us in 2021 because God is faithful to lead his people. Let's go over to chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from their camp and went down to the Jordan, and they camped over before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving the orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. We started in chapter 1. God told Joshua to cross the Jordan. When we read it, we get the impression that it's not a very big deal. However, Joshua could go out of his tent in the morning and see with his very own eyes that the Jordan River was deep. It was wide, and it was in flood stage. This was not like crossing over Sand Creek or some other small little tributary that we have that feeds into the great Mississippi. But you know, our family has gone to the headwaters of Mississippi, and many of you have. You can cross the Mississippi by just jumping over five little stones. I mean, it's that shallow at the headwaters of the Mississippi. That's not what Joshua was up against. And that... And Scripture says it was deep and it was wide. And so at this point in the river, on a non-harvest time, the river was probably 100 feet wide. It was probably about 3 to 10 feet deep. It was somewhat easy crossable. But this was during harvest. And this was during the rainy season. This was during flood stage. The river that Joshua was up against was exceeding the banks of the river. It was not just some old mamby-pamby little river that's flowing down and you can see the trickles. There were white caps on the river. It was at flood stage. It was over the banks. And Joshua, I'm sure, was in his mind going, God, are you sure that this is what we're supposed to be doing? Scripture doesn't say that, but I have to think on a human scale, God, are you sure? We need to trust God to go before us, even if it looks impossible. Or if we think back on 2020 and think, well, that was a horrible situation. I don't want to have to experience that in 2021. Is God faithful? Is God faithful? Yes, he is. I believe at this point and in the story that Joshua needed a good reminder of how God had led the Israelites up to this point. And I believe that he needed a good reminder from God that this crossing is doable. He needed to trust God, and he needed to hear God tell him that everything was going to be okay. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Joshua, remember, every place that your foot treads, I have given it to you. The Jordan is no match for you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls in this room, we have just come through what in many situations looks like it could have been our Jordan River. And this Jordan River is no match for you because God is faithful. Joshua, no man will be able to stand against you. This swollen Jordan River is not a problem for you. Ladies and gentlemen, the things that we are looking forward to in 2021 are no match for you because of who is in you. Joshua, Four times I'm going to command you to be strong and very courageous, because I have given you a mission. I am going before you to give these people the land I told their fathers about. Be strong and courageous. Follow me. Don't get distracted. Meditate on the word. This is where your success comes from. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fret. You are not alone. I am going with you. Now, there's several things that are implications or applications for us. We do not have to fear. We do not have to fear what lies ahead. We don't have to fear January 6th and all the garbage that's going on in D.C. because greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. We do not have to fear what is coming. No one will be able to stand against us. The government might tell us what we have to do. And other people might say, well, you Christians and blah, 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 blah. But we don't have to fear them. Because as Scripture says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But our struggle is against the principalities of this dark world that we live in. The enemy of our souls is the one we have to worry about. And as Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against what the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is doing. Can I hear another amen? Amen. Be strong, church. Be courageous, church. We do not have to fear what is coming. We do not have to be discouraged. We get fearful and we get discouraged when we lose focus. When we think it's about us. When we just start doing things because that's what is expected of us. Let's dig a little deeper. God wants you to know, second point. God wants you to know that He is faithful. That's not the second point, that's the first point. God wants you to know that He is faithful. Your Jordan is not too big or too much of an obstacle for God to handle. No man and no thing can stand against you if the power of God is in you. Be strong, because you have a mission. Be strong. Don't lose hope. I love this. Isaiah 40:31. You know what this says? They that wait upon the Lord, or those who hope is in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those that wait or hope in the Lord. Where's your hope this morning? Where's your hope this morning? Be strong. You are not alone. Second point, we need to be ready for what God is going to do in 2021. Now, I love this. I don't have a clue what time it is. Okay, I see the clock now. We need to be ready for what God is going to do in 2021. And I love this story. Joshua commands the leaders to go throughout the town, telling the people to make themselves ready for the journey ahead. Chapter 3, verse 3. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Now, no, there's a couple things that you can notice in here. One is there's no longer a cloud by day. There's no longer a pillar of fire by night. The thing that is leading them now is the Ark of the Covenant, the very place where God dwells in the Old Testament. Command the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. When you see God doing a work, don't sit back and do nothing. Run after it. I remember several years ago, and this was probably 20-some years ago, Henry Blackaby wrote the book, Experiencing God. And he said in this book, and it is something that has stuck with me all these years, when you see the Spirit of God moving in a certain place, join God in that work. Don't try to do it on your own, but if God is doing something, join Him in that work. And God is doing something in our day and age, are we looking for what God is doing, or are we thinking that, hey, we need to manufacture it on our own? When you see God doing a work, don't sit back and do nothing. Run after it. This is essentially what Joshua is telling the people. Make sure you are following the ark. We don't follow God on a whim. We follow Him because we trust His word and we know that He is faithful, which makes me believe that God has a sense of order about Him. However, verse 4, Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards, or as the NASB says, 2,000 cubits. And if you do the math, there's 1.5 cubits, or 1.5 feet in a cubit. So that's 3,000 cubits. A little longer or a little further distance than a half a mile. There are 2,640 feet in a half a mile. Don't ask me how I know that, but I just do. And so the people are supposed to follow the ark into this massive swollen river. Can you just about imagine it, Dan? It's like, what? How are we going to do this? How is that even possible? That the priests are going to go down to the river and they're going to go into this river and we're going to cross over after that ark. And we know the rest of the story, that the river dried up. Joshua told the people, verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Take up the ark and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up, and he said, when you reach the edge of the Jordan, go and stand in the river. And then we know the story. As soon as their foot hit the water stood up. And the ground was dry. Do you know how many people crossed over that day? It was not 15 or 20 or 30 people. The Ark of the Covenant is here in the center. And the ground was dry for a half a mile upstream and a half a mile plus downstream. And the Israelites passed through on dry ground close to 1 million people. On dry ground. I mean, that's amazing. God was going to do something for the Israelites unlike they had ever seen. But there was a total reminder of what God had done with Moses in the Red Sea, where they crossed through on dry ground. And once again, they're crossing over into the Jordan, through the Jordan onto dry ground. An interesting point of trust. God gives us direction and God leads us. And I want to say this. There is no one in this room. No one in this room. You can take this to the bank. There is no one in this room who has ever stepped foot into tomorrow. Am I right? Not one of us has stepped into tomorrow. There is no one in this room who has ever stepped foot in tomorrow today. Simply put, as God said to Joshua and to the people, go back to verse 4. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. I love that. We have never been in 2021. We've never been to tomorrow today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. God has given us today 365 todays, if God should be gracious enough to give us breath tomorrow. But tomorrow is tomorrow. What are we doing today for the King? What are we doing for the kingdom of God today? We've not lived in 2021. We can look back on 2020 and we can see how God has led us, how He has shaped us, how He has molded us, but 2021 is a blank slate. We have never been this way before. It may sound like a dangerous thing that we are doing, but God has this. God's got this. And I love verse 5. Joshua tells the people, consecrate yourselves. Make yourselves ready. Make yourselves pure and holy and sacred and clean, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, I'm not suggesting that God's not going to do anything today, that we need to wait for tomorrow, but God is going to do something great tomorrow because he's done something great today. And God's going to do something great tomorrow because he did something good today. And God's going to do something great tomorrow because he did something great today. And God's going to do something great tomorrow because he did something great today. And God's going to do something great tomorrow because he's done something great today. So, that's what I want. And that's what I want to be a part of. I don't want to be a part of just checking things off the list because that's what's expected of me. Or that's what society expects of me. Or that's what the church expects of me. I want to go out radically, maybe screaming and kicking, all for the King, all for the King. I love when we sing these songs and talk about the blood of Christ flowing through our veins. I love when we celebrate communion because it reminds me that I have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, when I celebrate communion, I love it because it's a reminder of whose I am. I am a child of the King. When I participate in his body that was broken for me, his blood that was shed for me, that should make us want to shout, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Because I am no longer living in my sin. I am a child of the King. Woo! Anybody? Yeah. And man, and while it's called today, I want to live like it is the last day. Because I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. Get ready, people. God is doing a work. Get ready, people. Consecrate yourselves. Get ready for what is coming today. He is leading me and going before me. Will I trust him? I've not been this way before. Will I obey him and will I follow after him? Will I do what he tells me to do? Will I go where he tells me to go? Will I say what he tells me to say? Will I live in fear and discouragement? Or am I going to be strong and courageous? Examine your own hearts when it comes to that. Are you strong and courageous or are you fearful and discouraged? Reminders for us today. Get ready. God is moving. We need to consecrate ourselves. We need to meditate on scriptures. We need to know that God is faithful. Get ready to move out of your comfort zone. Get ready to get off the bleacher and into the game. Get ready to get off of the sidelines and get into the game. Get ready to say, God, I will go and do what you call me to do, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And this hope that we have is something that we don't keep to ourselves, but we share the gospel with those that we work with because we know that the time is short and we know that Christ is going to return. And all we have to do is look around us and we can see that God is preparing us for the next greatest thing. That's his return, ladies and gentlemen. He is coming back. He's coming back. Are we ready? Move out. Take action. Step out. Put faith forward. And I love it because oftentimes, and I do not have this all wrapped up in a nice little package. There are times that I don't want to say something. There are times that I don't want to do something because I'm comfortable just being me. I'm married to a woman that loves to challenge me when it comes to these things. We'll be at the grocery store and she'd be like, say something, or do something. Or recently we were with some friends and they've got some friends who are out of work and my wife says, pull out your wallet. I don't want to do that. Pull out your wallet. Get ready. Take action. Step out. Put your faith forward. And then I love, and we don't have time to get into this, but chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, talks about what, after they had just crossed the river, Joshua tells the leaders of the 12 tribes, go back into the river and grab a big stone and bring it out, and we'll set it up as a memorial to what God has done. Now I think about that in 2021. And I've done this before in the other churches I've been in. I had little rocks, and I had people come up, and I just said, write down something that God did in 2020 or whatever year it was, and put it in. We put it in a shadow box, and we put it up on a wall, and we remembered when we saw that. This is what God did in 2020, 2018, or whatever it was. It's helpful for us to look back, because we get so distracted with everything else that we lose focus on how faithful God was to lead us in the past. So I don't know what it's going to be for you as you think about what God is doing in your life. But maybe you need to go out in the woods, and maybe you just need to set up a memorial someplace. We have a lot of memorials around our place. It's called Dead Animals. But why do we do that? Because it reminds us of that which we loved. Why do we set up a memorial to remember what God has done? Why do we celebrate communion? Because we remember what Christ has done for us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2021. January 3rd, 2021. Let's get ready for what God is going to do. Let's not back down. Let's be strong and courageous. And let's be strong and very courageous. If we're dealing with fear and we're dealing with discouragement, we're going to have communion, but I will make myself available to be right here after that. If you just want to pray, if you're dealing or living in fear, fear is not of faith. Fear is not of God. Fear can control us and hold us back. Today's the day to get rid of it. It's gone. We'll do that together. We'll pray together. Fear's got to flee. I mean, we sang it. Do we believe it? I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. Do you believe it? Or is it just lip service? I will challenge you in 2021. Let's not do lip service. Let's go boldly. Let's go boldly into this year, because God is faithful to lead us. He has shown us that He is faithful to lead us. We got obstacles as a church. Every church does. We're not immune to that. We've got obstacles as individuals. We all have work. We all have relationships with people that we work with. Let's be strong and courageous for our King. We have a politically upset, unrest thing going on in our world right now. We can either be controlled by that and live in fear and discouragement, or we can trust the King. I love this passage. I didn't know if I'd get to it, but I'm going to take time to do it. John chapter 10. This is a good reminder for all of us this morning. John chapter 10, verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long is this in suspense? If you were the Christ, plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." If you are struggling this morning, and you are fearful, and you're worried, and you're fretting, my question is, are you one of His sheep? Do you believe? Jesus goes on to say, "My sheep," verse 27, "my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My kids ask me, not the older ones, but my younger ones, fear of death is a big thing. Daddy, are you going to die? I look square in the eye. I said, I am never, ever going to die. I do not have to die. The tent's going to wear out, but I'm not going to die. I am going to live forever because God's word says, I will never perish. Woo! Wow, that just gives me just woo. They shall never perish. And Jesus says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, because I and the Father are one. How are you living this morning? You living for God? We can go through all the things that we can check off the list. Yeah, I was in church on Sunday. Yeah, I gave the offering. Yeah, I did communion. Yeah, I did. And we can check it off, check it off, check it off. Where's your heart? Where's your relationship with the King of Kings? We're going to face, as a nation and as a church, I mean, we've already started to face some challenging times, but I guarantee you it's going to get worse. That's not a prophetic voice for me. That's God's word. In the end times, it's going to get worse. And if you're not part of the vine, or if you're not in the Father's hand, watch out. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we've read it before. Last week, I think Luke even preached on it, Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly used to walk, according to the prince of the power of this air, according to the flesh, against our own ungodly desires. But verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2 says this, But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us, in that while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive through Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace that you are saved, through faith, not because of anything good that we can check off our list. Check it, check it, check it, check it. No. It's by grace, through faith. It's through confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. Because it's with the mouth that we confess. It is with the heart that we believe. Strap in. Strap in. Get ready. Get ready. Make yourself ready for what God is going to do in 2021. Let's pray together. Father God, you are awesome. I thank you for this reminder from the book of Joshua to get ready for what you're going to do. You told Joshua to command the people to get ready because you were going to go before them. You were going to lead them into this promised land. And God, I see so many similarities, so many things that are true for us in this day and age. We need to be ready. We need to get off the sidelines and into the playing fields. We need to do what you, Jesus, said, to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to be reminded that you are with us even to the very ends of the age. God, we're reminded from Scripture that you said to Peter that you would build the church and the gates of hell would not prevail against us. We do not come this morning, God, as a defeated church. We come this morning as a beat-up church who has gone through the mill, but we are reminded this morning, God, that we are to be strong and very courageous. We don't live in fear, and we say in Jesus' name,
that fear has to flee. We say in Jesus' name that discouragement has to be banished. We say in Jesus' name that where the Son of God is, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. We believe it, God. We believe it. We no longer, or I no longer, want to be known as somebody who simply checks it off the list to go and do and go and be. But God, I want you. I want more of you. More of you, God. Less of the things of this world. When we come to the end of 2021, God, I want to be able to say, look back and say, 365 days you were faithful every morning. May praise continually be on my lips. When I see the beautiful frost on the trees, God, I want to give you praise. Hallelujah, for the King of Kings does great things. When I experience that person at the grocery store who is struggling, and I know that they're struggling, God, you give me an opportunity to share the gospel with them, and their life is transformed. God, we give you praise for that. God, I pray in Jesus' name that there would be a move of your Spirit in Pine County, that there would be a move of your Spirit in the lives of people that are lost. God, we prayed for an individual yesterday who is lost and hell bound. May it unnerve us and may it just challenge us deeply as we think about that, that there are people that we know every day that we come into contact with every day who are lost and in need of a Savior. And yet we just say, hey, have a good day. God, would you dip us in the kerosene of your Spirit and set us ablaze for you? Oh, God. That there would be souls that are won, lives transformed. God, we remember this morning your body that was broken for us, your blood that was shed for us. And we celebrate triumphantly. I mean, that was a dark day, but you did it willingly so that death has no control. Death has no sting. The grave has no power. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. What we celebrate today gives us victory and great anticipation to when we are seated around your table in glory, and we celebrate this great marriage supper of the Lamb together in your presence. God, we give you thanks. I pray that you would get us ready for 2021. In Jesus' name, amen.